and welcome to Catholic Answers Live, Great Big Friday Show. And it really is, I always say it, but we did it again, another Great Big Friday Show. Second hour Catholic Answers game show with a top secret guest who I will not name. You'll have to find out who that is second hour. Just prepare the way for somebody really good second hour. This hour, we talk a bit about the virtue of courage. It takes a great deal of courage, I think, for most people to live the Catholic faith today. As a matter of fact, our society is probably so aggravated in so many ways about so many different things, it takes courage to stand up for anything. And that's why we have chosen for our topic, the virtue of courage this hour. What is it? Why do we need it? How do we get it? And if you'd like to get in on that conversation, 888-318-7884 is our number. 888-318-7884. Our guest to help us discuss the virtue of courage is a YouTube sensation. As a matter of fact, he has a YouTube talk out about the virtue of courage. You can find his work on the Ascension Press channel on YouTube, and you should find it. Father Mike Schmitz is a priest of the Diocese of Duluth, Minnesota. He currently runs the Newman Center at the University of Minnesota Duluth. He's a bulldog Catholic, and he's also the director of youth and young adult ministry for the diocese. Father Mike Schmitz, thanks for being with us again.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, it takes courage to come on this show and open yourself up to callers and all that, but you don't lack for that. I didn't know this, but you were just saying to me before we went on the air, you all Bulldogs, Minnesota Duluth Bulldogs, you won the national championship in hockey last year?
I think it was last year, yeah. I know it was the I did not play on the game on the team. They won the national championship last year. I think it was the second time in recent memory. It's pretty cool. University of Minnesota Duluth, there are some other schools that have a lot of school spirit.
Yeah.
And we are not one of those schools.
Oh.
But it is one of those situations where the night or the next day after the national championship, you have this kind of really good chill Midwestern, like, oh, hey guys, let's have a celebration there. Okay, there, we're done now.
Well, that, you're not like turning over cop cars and starting fires.
Oh gosh, no, absolutely. it's the most moderated celebration you have ever seen in your entire life. Now there's some people who go a little nuts, but for the most part, it's kind of like, oh, neat.
Oh,
back to work.
I kind of like that, actually. I think that's a great quality. Reserve is an underestimated quality.
Reserve, yes, that is imagine in appropriate moments, reserve is a virtue as well.
Yeah, right, in appropriate moments. So, so we think about a sport like hockey, which takes tremendous physical courage to be a good hockey player. And we do think a great deal about physical courage as courage. But I notice in your YouTube talk about the virtue of courage, you talk about prayer in that. And so I guess there's a courage connected with the interior life as well.
I'm really glad you highlighted that point, because there is, the tradition talks about physical courage and moral courage. And that physical, they're both goods, right? They're both the virtue of courage. But there is an element that we can, at times, more quickly associate the courageous with physical courage, as opposed to like your mundane, ordinary kinds of courage. You know, it's not necessarily the running into the burning building. I mean, those courageous people, I mean, think about not only 9/11, but any time someone, when everyone else is running out, that person or those people are running in into the fray, like that is courage. It's not less. But I think sometimes if that's the only vision of courage that we kind of present to ourselves or kind of a look for, then we're looking in a much too small space compared to the amount of courage that's just needed to live on a daily basis. So there's physical courage, but there's also moral courage, and that extends throughout almost every facet of our daily lives.
So moral courage, would you say it's something like, well, let's say there's a serious moral issue, and at work or something, maybe someone is harassing somebody else and you need to stand up and say something. That would be a kind of moral courage, I suppose. So is that a matter of not being afraid, just I'm not afraid. I'm going to do this. Or is courage something else?
Right. Yeah, that's a great question. That is a good example of moral courage. There are some more I'd love to be able to talk about. We will probably get a chance to talk about it in the, I think we have 3 minutes left, right?
No, you got the whole hour, Father. We're not.
I know. I'm just teasing around. Yeah, that is a great example of moral courage where it's like, you have to stand up for something. It might not cost me anything physically, like in the sense that I'm not facing lions here. What I might be facing is a rejection. I might be facing the risk of maybe losing my job. I might be facing the risk of like that kind of courage of the willingness to do the right thing when the right thing is hard to do is exactly what's needed in that moment. You had asked, whether that means the absence of fear. And that is absolutely not the case. In fact, the ability to feel fear in the face of danger means something is going right with your interior self. Like,
yeah.
That means your intellect is lined up and your emotions are lined up with the intellect. See, if I did not feel fear in the face of danger, to do the thing would not be courageous. In fact, fear, in a certain sense, fear is a prerequisite for courage. Why? Because here's the definition of fortitude, or the definition of courage that I really like. I always want to, especially I usually offer this to our retreat every summer for junior high and high school students. And every third year, it's on the virtues. And so we spend the whole week talking about the cardinal virtues, a little bit about the theological virtues. The very last virtue we touch on after talking about justice and temperance and the other one, prudence, is fortitude. And the way I like to set it up is having justice or doing justice, being temperate or being prudent. That is, those things are always easy to do when it's easy to do them. Fortitude is the virtue that you need if you're going to do the right thing when the right thing is hard to do. So I always say it like that. Courage is being able to do, having the freedom, having the power to do the right thing when the right thing is hard to do. So when it's easy to be, you know, honest, well, I don't need courage there because I'm just going to be honest. I'm just going to tell the truth. It doesn't cost me anything. There's no risk here. So speaking out, speaking up for justice's sake, like you were describing in a office situation or whatever. Well, if I don't feel fear in that, I'm just saying words. I might as well be, you know, turning in my expense report. But if there's a sense of, no, this could cost me something, then it's that moment when I need fortitude or I need courage, because this is the moment where doing the right thing has become hard to do.
So how do we get it? I mean, because really, truly, I mean, I think of young people today. Well, you work with young people all the time.
Yeah.
And the kind of way that pop culture, for example, inculcates a certain set of values, and everyone's supposed to share those values, and you will be looked at askance if you don't. And those values are very shallow. They're highly sexualized. And they're not compatible with the Christian faith in many instances. So how do – like – you must have to talk with these young people about courage and about how to get it just to live their faith.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. It's so funny because you're describing, here we are in our culture, and our culture doesn't necessarily lend itself towards being courageous, but our culture gives us a gajillion opportunities to be courageous on a daily basis. Let me say that again, that the culture doesn't necessarily lend itself to, encouraging courage, but it gives us so many opportunities on a daily basis. So how do you cultivate fortitude or that ability, the power, the freedom to do the right thing when the right thing's hard to do? Well, I think we have to recognize a few things. So I'm going to mention three. One is that you become courageous by being courageous. So one of the things,
thanks.
I would say that by acting in a courageous way. So it was, maybe Aristotle or one of the, you know, big time philosophers back in the day who would talk about, you know, these virtues as being skills. They're things that you've acquired through use. So how do you become a good wood carver? By carving wood. How do you become a good auto mechanic? By working on engines. How do you become a good surgeon? By doing surgery, right? So how do you become a courageous person? Well, by doing courageous things. And so one of the first things we have to realize is no one's born courageous. That this is not necessarily just imputed upon them, but this is a virtue that gets developed. And again, when you mention our culture, is so much of our culture just wants, we like the myth of the talent myth, like that idea that, well, someone's just a prodigy. They just have this ability and they didn't have to work on it at all. Versus the reality, which is, I mean, some people have certain things they're inclined towards, but every one of us has to learn how to become courageous, and we can only do that by doing courageous things. So the first thing is, you become courageous by doing courageous things. Secondly, that becomes a process, or that is always going to be a process. It's never going to be this innate thing that you inherited from your parents. They were courageous people, now you're a courageous person. Or you just happen to have the courage gene. It's always going to be, if you become courageous by doing courageous things, that means it's going to be a process. And that process is going to be, if the courage is going to be deep, the process is going to be slow. Does that make sense? Actually going to be real courage, not just surface courage, but it's going to be deep courage that actually extends into every area of my life, and the process is going to be slow.
So that one hits me hard, like because a person might really berate themselves for not having more courage, but it does actually take time. You have to allow that, you know, the cake's got to bake. You can't just wish it to be done.
Absolutely. That's a great way to say it, that it's going to be I love how, you know, scripture so often uses the image of, you know, the seed and it growing. And that sense of like, yeah, you don't begrudge the plant for the fact that, no, it hasn't broken through the surface yet. Well, no, because that's the stage it's at. And so if someone's like, you know, down, like you said, berating themselves, down on themselves because, like, I just want to be more courageous and I'm not. Like, okay, well, that's where you're at right now. What is one courageous thing you can do today? And that's the third part. Not only do you become courageous by doing courageous things, not only is it a slow process, but it almost always is exercised in the small things. We look, as I mentioned before, we look for the person running into the building. That's wonderful. That is, you could call it courage. What I call that is the consequence of being courageous. It still is courage, obviously, but in so many ways, it is the consequence of a life spent doing the right thing when the right thing was hard to do, over and over and over again. So here's an example, small things. The person who has an opportunity to gossip. And not only do they have the opportunity to gossip, here they are, you know, I know that I work with a lot of teachers. And so, elementary and high school teachers, and they're like, oh my gosh, the teacher's lounge is just the worst because I want to connect with these people, my coworkers, as well, you know, as just like anyone else. But it seems like unless I gossip, I'm not part of the club. And so they want to connect. They don't want to gossip, but here is the situation which it's like, how are you connect outside of this? So it is hard to not gossip. Okay, well, courage is doing the right thing when the right thing is hard to do. The right thing in this case, not gossip. Here's an occasion where I'm faced with this small thing, and do I contribute to the conversation by adding to the gossip? Or do I contribute to the conversation in a way that doesn't add to the gossip? That small moment, that small decision accumulated over time has immense impact. So here's one, that's one thing, gossip. So that's like long before even standing up against the bully or standing up against the injustice that's happening at work or whatever the thing is. I think one of the big opportunities that every single one of us might have for courage on a daily basis is against the temptation called acedia or sloth. So I'm sure you're familiar with, maybe you've even, you know.
I'm sorry, I was resting. What did you say, Father? I was just taking a break.
Yes, exactly. That was really good. I was like, you took me back there. So a lot of times, again, we might associate acedia or sloth with laziness. And some ways you could say, well, spiritual laziness, a spiritual sloth, whatever. But I read this book called, you know, Acedia, the Noonday Devil, by this French abbot, Benedictine abbot. Super good. And one of the things he highlighted in the book is he said, you know, they call acedia, or sloth, the noonday devil. And it goes all the way back to the early church fathers, who were the desert fathers. And he painted the scene for us, and I always want to share it. He said, here's the scene. You're in the desert. You're a monk, or even a consecrated virgin or something in the desert. You've gotten up in the morning, and you have been praying. The sun is now coming up. It's like between 10 o'clock in the morning and 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and there's nothing for you to do except the thing you are supposed to do. Is supposed to be in your cell or be in the whatever your habitation is, and you're just supposed to sit there and pray. Now, you're like, but I could leave this hut, I could leave this cell, and I could go into town, and I could help people, or I could go just for a walk. Or, you know, what would really be good is, I know I don't eat until sundown, but let me just take a little bite of food. And they would call that acedia, and it's not laziness, but what the core of acedia is, I want to be doing anything other than what I'm supposed to be doing right now.
Oh, man, I think I have that. I think I got that bad. All right, well, Father, I'm supposed to be taking a break right now. So I want to get, because this is a chance that we can talk about that idea that there is a certain courage for the interior life and for conversation with God and for doing those things that actually build us up as human beings, or not doing them and lacking the courage when the time actually comes to do it. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more with Father Mike Schmitz on the virtue of courage right after this.
Join us on air today on Catholic Answers Live.
Divine Intimacy Radio.
When you engage with the wisdom of saints this way, it stokes the fires of God in our hearts, encourages us, strengthens us, and gives us wisdom to deal with the difficulties of life. It also gives us wisdom that allows us to rise above all of the junk, to live with joy and peace in the midst of even the most difficult circumstances.
Divine Intimacy Radio, Sunday, 6:30 a.m., 1:30 p.m., and 11 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
St. Paul's street evangelization isn't like other evangelism you might have seen on the streets. We don't yell, and we don't force anyone to pay attention to us. Instead, St. Paul's street evangelization is committed to presenting a positive, passionately Catholic presence to a world hungry for truth. For more information, or to start a chapter of your own, go to www.streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com. It's time to do our part.
Back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Joined this hour by Father Mike Schmitz, the YouTube sensation. You can find his stuff. If you just put Father Mike Schmitz in to the internets, it'll bring you to his YouTube stuff, and you can enjoy it there. Or you can find out about him at bulldogcatholic.com. Did I get that right? Bulldogcatholic.com?
That is it. Exactly, yeah.
And we're talking about the virtue of courage. Our number, 888-318-7884. If you prefer the spelled version, that's 888-31-TRUTH. If you have questions about courage, maybe about how to share ideas about how to develop courage in yourself or maybe your children, that's one. I suppose all of us parents, when we hear about these virtue things, we know we need them for ourselves, but we really want them for our kids. And so it's good that there's people out there like you on YouTube sharing them with them. But you were talking about the noonday devil, acedia, this idea that we have a tendency to not want to do what the moment requires. I have to be honest with you. I have this tendency when it's time to pray the rosary And oh, that I should be praying the rosary. And it's just getting started that is the hardest thing. I mean, I don't want to exaggerate it. I mean, that's hard to do. So what am I lacking in courage there?
No, that's it. I mean, it's so strange too. Like for those of us who want to say like, no, God, I love you. I also know that when I pray, I feel better. It's almost like any other thing that we do that we know is good for us, and we also know we desire it. And afterwards, we even know after I get done working out, I feel good. After I get done eating a whole thing of Ben and Jerry's, I feel bad. And yet, it's so easy to not do what I'm supposed to be doing in that moment. And so, again, one of the things that just was a breakthrough for me when it came to like acedia was, okay, so it can be anything. It is the desire to do anything other than the one thing I'm supposed to be doing right now. And because that demands that you get really honest with yourself. It also demands that you have a very clear sense of, well, what am I supposed to be doing right now? Because if I can't, I don't think I'm, I don't, actually don't personally think I'm supposed to be praying a rosary at all times. So I'm not doing anything wrong if I'm not praying the rosary right now while talking to you, Sai. I might later on, if it's like, well, is 9 o'clock my rosary time at night and I don't do it. Well, this is the moment when the rubber hits the road. This is the moment where I had told, you know, I'd made a deal with myself where I told the Lord, God, tonight, 9 o'clock, I'm showing up. I'm, you know, going to pray this rosary. If I go back on that, then now I know where I failed. But to not have it set up in the first place, to not know what I'm supposed to be doing, is one of the reasons I think a lot of us, we don't pray when the time comes. We just let it pass us by because we never decided in the first place. This is going to be the moment when I pray. And so you think about like all the elements that go into fortitude, all the elements that go into courage, I have to actually know what I'm supposed to be doing and then decide to do that thing in advance, or else what happens is I get to the end of the day and there weren't really no demands on me. There were really no moments of courage for me because, I mean, yeah, I just kind of did what I felt like. Now, if you're listening to this and you're a parent, like, that's probably not your experience. But when it comes to our spiritual lives, that can often not be our experience because we just didn't decide. We said, well, I'm going to pray sometime today, and then we just wandered off as opposed to giving ourselves, like, I know what God wants me to do, and I'm going to decide to do that thing in this moment.
I'm sure you must have heard people say this because I think this might be a common thing in the spiritual life too, to be afraid or to lack the courage to go to, you know, if I do that, if I stick to these things, if I pray the way I'm supposed to, I'm going to have a deeper relationship with Christ, but I'm actually afraid of having a deeper relationship with Christ. Have you come across that?
It's funny enough. I haven't a ton of times, but I have come across people who have been, here's the two main things I found. One is people who would say that, yeah, I don't want to, we mentioned in the break that we have a retreat coming up. It's what we call our Fan into Flame retreat. It's a kind of a Holy Spirit retreat where we just introduce people to the Holy Spirit and allow them to pray in the Spirit. And this is really powerful. I just love it. We had a young woman relatively recently who had gone on this retreat a couple of years ago, and she had a profound experience with the Lord, and it was really, really great. But when she came back to school, I found her like she was just drawing back, and she wanted to meet and talk about it. I'm like, well, what's wrong? You know, she said, I had an incredible experience with God, and I understand his love for me and all he's planned for me. I don't want to get any closer to him because I don't want him to change me.
Oh, yes, right.
And I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, I see what you mean. You still want to have your life, and if you get close to Jesus, He will want to refashion your life. He's going to want to have you, and like C.S. Lewis talked about this, like when you first come to Christ, you're like, yeah, come on into the house and And he starts knocking on a wall. You're like, okay, I guess I didn't want that wall there in the first place. But then all of a sudden, he starts remodeling everything. And you're like, wait a second. I just wanted you to take care of this little, you know, sin I have in my life, not give me a whole. And he says, God's plan is not to remodel the house. God's plan is to build you a palace. And that's the sense that so many people, I don't want to get close to Jesus because I don't want his will to fully be done in my life.
And that's the kind of courage we want, is to take up the offer that God makes us. But it's it's hard. We have to give things up and we have to accept things that, well, maybe we don't want to. We're talking with Father Mike Schmitz. We're talking about the virtue of courage. I have held callers off for too long, and I apologize to you if you're on the phone. Hang on. We're getting to you. If you're not, 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884.
This is Dr. Scott Hahn, and stay tuned for more Catholic Answers Live.
A generation ago, Christian parents didn't have to worry about how to explain transgenderism to their 9-year-old children or help their teenager deal with mockery at school for believing in traditional marriage. But today, as our culture decays, we have to know how to talk to our children about these issues. In Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues, Layla Miller and Trent Horn give parents the crucial tools and techniques to form children with the understanding they need, appropriate to their age and maturity level, to meet the world's challenges. If we're not teaching our children how to understand tough moral issues, then the world will. Read Made This Way and learn how to give your kids a firm foundation on which to build a life of moral clarity and happiness. Order your copy of Made This Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or logging onto the shop at Catholic.com.
With the recent commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the release of Humani Vitae, there have been fresh attacks on Catholic teaching from outside and, unfortunately, inside the Church. That's why Catholic Answers thought it critical to provide a vigorous affirmation of Pope Paul VI's prophetic wisdom with our newest book, Inseparable, 5 Perspectives on Sex, Life, and Love in Defense of Humani Vitae. We asked 5 distinguished contributors to reflect on and defend Humani Vitae from 5 perspectives, each of them compelling, together forming a mosaic of truth. Don't be caught uninformed when the topic comes up among friends, family, and coworkers. Order your copy of Inseparable today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or by visiting the shop at Catholic.com.
We are to pray unceasingly.
But are there guidelines on what we should and shouldn't pray for?
We're talking about praying for insignificant things on Monday's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Now let's return to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest is Father Mike Schmitz. You know him from the internet. I think he is on about 40% of it. I don't know how the internet works, but I think he's on about 40% of it. And you can call him with your question about courage, because we are discussing courage and the virtue of courage. Almost certainly, I think, an undervalued virtue. I don't know. Maybe they all are. But we don't. As Christians, I suppose, we don't often – we'll talk about the virtues of faith, hope, and love. We'll talk about patience and kindness, but we don't often talk about courage. What moved you to decide you needed to say something about courage?
Yeah, no, I think one of the real reasons is I desire it a lot. it resonates with me because, you know, ever since I was a kid, I resonated with or I really longed for that physical courage. I loved reading stories of heroes, and loved reading stories of people who really did incredible things, both, the saints, when I discovered that and them, as well as just, I've read a lot of military stories growing up and soldiers who did, incredibly brave things and, really moved by that. And then, as I matured and got older, I recognized that, we don't necessarily hold models up, even like models of character, up necessarily to for ourselves or for those that we're, you know, trying to help form, like, you know, our children, our students, that kind of thing. And one of the things that just struck me was I remember reading a story of I'm not going to get the names right because it was so long ago. But it was the story of a man who had won the Congressional Medal of Honor. And it was awarded to him posthumously, right? So he had died in the line of duty, and all of his, you know, men and fellow soldiers knew of him to be this, you know, very brave man who was willing to sacrifice himself, and he was willing to go out of his way to serve, and he had this real high nobility that they would you know, call him a hero, that he had a lot of courage, and he had a lot of the virtues, and so. They had given the task of awarding his Medal of Honor to, I think, this man's parents back in his hometown, posthumously, right? And so the story goes, it's a true story. It sounds fake because I can't remember the name. But he goes back to this town, and he has some time to kill, and he's trying to think, what am I going to say about this man? Like, what am I going to say about the Medal of Honor? This general's, you know, had been asked to award this. So he goes to this small town's, or this town's library, and he looks up, okay, what are any books of Medal of Honor? And there's one book in the library about the Medal of Honor. It's about the winners of the Medal of Honor. It tells all their stories of bravery and heroism and courage. And he goes, finds it on the bookshelf, and he pulls it out, and he opens it up, and he sees that there's the card in there, you know, that, you know, when people used to go to libraries, they have the library card there. And he pulls it out, and he saw that no one had checked this book out for like the previous 23 years, maybe 13 years. But the last person to check that book out, actually, in fact, I think was the only person to have checked that book out was the man that he had shown up in that small town to give the award to. That this man who exhibited courage and like lived it, he had actually shaped his mind and shaped his heart by reading and encountering stories other people's courage and other people's bravery. So I recognize this and like, man, but no one else had checked it out. And it's kind of this loss of like, do we encourage each other for this virtue of fortitude, or do we just say, you know what, when it gets tough, that's when you can stop, you know? Right. So that's kind of maybe part of the reason, plus 1,000 others.
Well, fair enough. I said I had held off callers too long, and I did it again. So let me go to Tom in Brighton, Michigan, listening on Ave Maria Radio, AM 990. Tom, sorry to keep you waiting. Your question for Father Mike.
No problem. Father Mike, big fan. All right, I'll get to the question.
Hey, Tom.
So I'm part of a Christian boys camp in the summer, and we do 1 week where we teach kids all about, you know, relationships with God and a lot of fun with games too, physical activities. But so when you're on staff, you do staff meetings at night, and I've noticed that a lot of it is kind of like the teachers' lounge you were talking about, where, you know, just a lot of stories come up of like the campers doing silly stuff. And I have kind of noticed that sometimes it does get a little bit more into gossipy, where it seems like we're kind of, you know, mocking a kid that maybe isn't as athletically gifted, you know, and he does something silly.
Right.
But I was just kind of wondering, now that I'm becoming more of a senior staff, how is there a way that like I can be more courageous, kind of putting down the more gossipy, mocking stories that come up at these staff meetings?
Yeah, no, Tom, that's a great question, because your experience of what you just described is probably universal, in the sense that, as you said, it doesn't just happen in schools, it happens here at this camp. And also, I know in so many people, gossip is the way they connect, right? And gossip is so easy to slip into. As you said, you know, you start by talking about like, okay, how are the kids doing? How are the guys doing? This guy's doing well, this one's struggling over here. And it's so easy to go from, we actually are assessing them in order to help them, to, oh, and that one knucklehead over there who just, you know, it's so easy to do that. One of the things I found, I worked at it. I'm really glad you said this, because being in the context of a camp, I was a camp counselor for 10 years. And so I kind of know a little bit about some of that camp culture. One of the things we had at our camp is we had this incredible leadership. The leadership who helped run the camp were these men and women who were very, very clear about why we were there. We were there for these young people. And they were super clear about, because that we're here for the young people, here's the kind of behavior and here's the kind of conversation that we tolerate. And so they were really, really clear. They didn't tolerate talking down to the kids or talking down about the kids ever, ever, ever. They didn't tolerate sarcasm with the campers, and they also didn't tolerate sarcasm amongst ourselves. And they didn't tolerate making fun of kids to their faces or behind their backs. And it was just really good because they would set that off at the very beginning. So especially as you're saying, you're going back to camp with a more of a leadership role. And I think in that, you have younger people who'll be working with you, who'll be looking to you as that model. One of the things I found is the most helpful is if I name the behavior before anyone exhibits the behavior, is we can kind of cut off the behavior, right? So say, guys, here we are at camp. We're doing some orientation. One of the issues we come up against is a lot of you guys, when it comes to quieting down the campers, say things like, shut up. Well, we don't want that kind of language here because we want to honor them by da-da-da. I also noticed that that's one of my personal rules. I never wanted to tell a kid to shut up. It was always, quiet down, guys. But another one of the things that I see is we can slip into talking about some of these campers in a way that we would never want their parents to hear us talking about them. We never want to hear their grandparents hear us talking about them like this. And so what we're going to do is we're always going to be building up the campers, helping shape them, whether we're talking to them or whether we're talking about them. And that's what I want to ask out of you men or you people who are working in this camp. Because of your role as being a leader, that moment of courage is going to be in making the decision to bring that to the other staff from the beginning, making it really clear and simple, not that you don't have to overload the message, but then saying, so that's what I'm going to do, and then exhibiting it. The big courage is not only going to be telling them, here's what we're going to do. The big moment of courage is going to be you witnessing to that way of speaking about the campers when you're in that larger group. But the great news is, once you establish that's the cutoff line, that's the standard, is if someone does fall into that gossip, they do fall into kind of making fun of the kid, you can say, guys, remember, we talked about this. We don't want to make fun of the kids to their faces or behind their backs. I think that could be a really good route to take this next upcoming summer.
Okay, Tom?
Thank you. That was incredible.
Thank you, Tom.
Awesome.
You're incredible. We're all incredible today. That's what I'm going to go with.
Tom was pretty great, though.
He was. It's a great question. All right. I'm going to do my best here. Stavrena in Michigan watching us on YouTube. Is that right, Stavrena?
Yep, it's Stavrena. You got it right.
Okay. Your question for Father.
Hi, Father Mike Schmitz.
Hi.
Usually, I listen to your talks on YouTube, and you really do inspire me, and I do. Actually, when I was in high school, I was really far from the faith, and by watching your videos and going to church more and this priest at my church has really helped me a lot. I've been able to increase my faith in Christ and in the Catholic Church. So my question to you is, you talked about how we're too afraid to get close to God and get close to building a relationship with Jesus because we're afraid that he might transform our lives, and we're afraid of that happening. And I actually go through that thought so many times in my life when I think about vocations, when I think about prayer, when I think about even if God was calling me for sisterhood. So whenever I'm in Mass, when I'm in church, I feel the presence of God there, feeling the Holy Spirit, and I'm just like, God, transform me. God, change my life. And then once I step out of those doors of the church, right when I step into the world again in my daily activities, in my daily life, it's like everything changes. It's like I don't want to pray anymore. I don't want to open up my Bible. I start getting into this state of spiritual desolation, and I feel like I have no more courage.
All right, Stavrena, let's let Father address that. Go ahead, Father.
Oh, yeah, that's such a good question. Stavrena, great question. That's so good. So it sounds like where you're going was that when you're in it, it's like praying, when you're in Mass, there's this desire, as you said, that I do want to do God's will. I want to belong to him. But then the moment you step out and go back to back to your life, it that becomes kind of a memory, or even there's a fear of oh gosh, Lord, what are you going to take from me? How are you going to, how might you be calling me? One of the, there's two things I just want to offer to you. There's probably more than that, but one thing is, the word remember and, the word, consistent. So consistent first. One of the things that the catechism points out, it says, we live as we pray because we pray as we live. And what they're trying to say in that is, I find it very difficult to pray if my life is according to the Spirit of Christ. If my life, I'm not living in according to the Spirit of Christ. Sometimes, and not saying that you're not living according to the Spirit of Christ. What I'm saying is sometimes when we're in prayer, we say, God, Father, thy will be done. I love you. I know you love me. But when we step out of our prayer, we go back to our lives, and we usually think of them in those terms, like, this is my life now. Okay, this is my plan, what I have to do. This is it's mine. So we're like those seagulls, right, in Finding Nemo, like, just kind of all mine. But in prayer, you recognize, oh, no, in prayer, I'm like, Lord, your will be done. And I recognize your love for me. I wonder if there isn't an element of forgetting. So first, the word consistent. And the second word is remembering, which is when I'm back in my life, you know, or back outside of prayer, do I need to remember the truth of the Father who loves me, the truth of the Jesus who died for me and rose again, the truth of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me, that I don't forget when I'm in prayer, but I tend to forget when I go back to my life and start seeing all the things in my life that I don't want to let go of. I don't want to be taken away from me. And I would say, you know, I'll just throw this back to you. Does that resonate when it comes to those two words, that consistency? Like in prayer, it's you, God, it's you. But in my life, it's kind of me. And then that need to remember his goodness, not just when you're in prayer, but also when you're back in your life. Does that resonate, or is there something else that I'm missing?
No, yeah, that does resonate with me. It's just that even when I have my my spiritual devotional that I read every single day, it even says, yeah, try to keep your eyes focused on God even outside of prayer. And there are times when I find that hard to do, especially like when I go through like my like physical pains and my health, when I'm just like in fear. I start to like lose my focus on God, and then I start to become afraid of even getting close to him, because I know that getting close to God requires suffering and sacrifice. So that also causes me to hold back a little bit.
Absolutely. And if I could say one more word for you, Sabrina, it's going to be, you mentioned fear. And we know that scripture says that love drives out fear. You know that God is a good dad. I mean, Jesus teaches us this, that God is a good, good dad, and he's going to be patient with you. And that what I mean is, you know, there's suffering. Because Jesus said, come follow me, pick up your cross, deny yourself. Yes. But also he said, my burden is easy and light, and you can trust him. So there may be pains, but God is a good, good dad, and he's not going to overload you. I promise you, he's not going to overload you. There will be suffering. There'll be denial. There'll be a cross. But God is a good dad, and you can trust him.
Thank you so much, Father Mike Schmitz.
All right. Thank you very much, Stavrina. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more after this with Father Mike Schmitz.
Your questions, Catholic answers, live.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Why do we need Catholic radio? Because not everybody's sitting in front of a computer or watching their television set at home. How about when driving to work? Catholic radio's there for you. I may be a Catholic priest, but I'm still a student of the faith. And Catholic radio helps supply good material, whether it be a question and answer format show, whether it be a show itself on doctrine or theology. I myself, as a priest, am always learning.
Father Wade thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Hey, next hour, game show. That's right, we're closing out the week with the game show. and a super top secret guest will be here. And we are preparing the way for him now to be here. But I don't want to preparing the way. That's all I'm saying.
Is it Jesus?
No, that's who John the Baptist prepared the way for, indeed. But a nice guest, Father Mike Schmitz. That would make
a special guest. There is no one more special.
Awesome game show. That would make an awesome game show.
Your ringer. So.
He would get all the answers right. Anonymous watching on YouTube is up next. Anonymous, your question for Father Mike Schmitz.
Hey, Father. I actually have never seen one of your YouTube videos, but which I hear is kind of rare. But so I'm a veteran, and you were talking about veterans and courage earlier. And I used to think that being like strong and, you know, like when I got my first Purple Heart, I thought I was like, you know, on top of the world, and I thought I couldn't get any better. But then I hit like a low point in my life, and I found a Christian brother that like just witnessed to me, and he I saw that like there's more courage in that in like the Catholic faith, and so like you know, he started like teaching me like, you know, Saint Ignatius and like, you know, like the fifth rule, that's my favorite one. I always go right back to it. And but like I want to like share it with people, but like sometimes I come across as kind of like arrogant, because I'm more philosophical than I mean, I care about people's feelings. I want to know, how do you have the courage to like speak to someone and not come across as like an arrogant, like know-it-all, but from a place of love, you know, like I want to come across as Christ, not across as like Plato.
And that's actually a great distinction. I appreciate that. And also maybe you get this a lot, maybe you don't, but hey, thank you for your service. Thank you. I have a brother who's in the military as well, who has, you know, I don't know if what you've been through, but thank you so much. Okay. So what one of the things I think we can do is when it comes to how does it take courage to witness? One of the things I found is that there's two kinds of people, and probably there's a thousand more than that, but here's the two kinds of people in this world when it comes to evangelizing, when it's a problem for them. The first kind of people, they have courage, but they don't have prudence in the sense of maybe they're going to blow in there. They're going to put the pedal down, and they're going to just drive into the China shop, and like, it doesn't matter. We got to get the gospel out. So the prudence part of like, okay, what is this person I'm talking to need right now? Or what's their story, that how they're approaching me? What are their questions? Like, what's really going on beneath the surface? So that prudence would be, or that, you know, ultimately prudence is, you know, practical wisdom. So having that wisdom of, okay, this is the best way to go about this. The other kind of person has so much prudence, or they call it prudence, but they don't have any courage, right? So it's like, well, I know what to say, I know what's going on, but I don't want to risk anything personally. So what it sounds like you're saying is the first part is not a problem in the sense of like, no, I can go in and I have no problem with the courage. Or maybe the second one is not a problem for you in the sense that like, it's not, I have the perfect thing to say and I know what the score is and I know exactly what the wise thing to do in this moment is, or the loving thing or the charitable thing. It's, you don't lack courage, but then what would be the case is, can I grow in wisdom? Just like courage, wisdom is something that's A, a gift, but B, is something that we become wise by doing wise things. And so this is the hard part, right? The hard part is that I think probably Cy and I both know this, that in witnessing to the Lord, to people, we both have stuck our foot in our feet in our mouths, maybe sometimes both feet at the same time, because it was one of those like, oh, no, I know the answer. And I charged in and didn't realize, oh, gosh, that was not their question. So the first thing I would say for somebody, if I was talking to someone else, I'd be like, okay, you need to be more courageous. You need to actually be more bold. For you, it sounds like, okay, what I really need is to stop have the courage to wait and listen, to see where they're really coming from, to ask those questions of, hey, what are your real questions, as opposed to just assuming that I know what they need to know, and then proceeding there. So in some ways, it's, okay, courage refashioned, and courage is like this, is the courage to go slowly, not stop. It's not like you're avoiding the issue, but it's, my first question here is, okay, what is their issue? What are their real questions? I'm sure you've had this, being the case, this is the last thing I'll say, and then ask if that makes sense. You've had the situation where you've answered the question they asked about, you know, or maybe they brought up, like, what about this? And you're like, oh, I have the answer for that. I listen to Catholic Answers. I know stuff. And then they were like, well, that's not enough for me. And the reason is because they weren't asking the doctrine question. They weren't asking the apologetics question. They were maybe asking the heart question. I've done that a ton of times where it's like, oh, here's what the Eucharist is this. And they're like, oh, I was asking about, you know, the soul of my person I love who died. They did never receive the Eucharist. I'm like, oh, I get it. Sorry. So I'm going to press pause. Does that make sense or am I way off?
No, it completely does, Father, because I feel like the Holy Spirit just spoke to me a little bit about talking about how, you know, when Christ was asked questions, he would answer them with a question. You know, he wouldn't just give you the answer. He would ask you a question to get your opinion on it. And that's kind of how I guess I should look at it.
Yeah, that sounds like a good, I mean, because think of how patient Jesus was with that, you know, because it takes a lot more effort, and I'd say courage, a lot more effort to ask another question than it is to answer, especially when, you know, you're someone who's, you've clearly put the time in to like get, I want to get to know who Jesus is. I want to get to know how to explain, share him with other people. Like, okay, I can do that right now. But to be able to stop or to slow down and say, let me ask you more about that. That's you said it perfectly.
Thank you, Father. Thank you very much. That was awesome.
Thank you,
thank you.
Anonymous. We'll go to Rebecca. I think we've got plenty of time for Rebecca, so we'll go to Rebecca in Lubbock, Texas, listening on Our Lady of Victory Radio. Rebecca, your question for Father.
Hi, Father Mike. Can y'all hear me?
Hi. Yeah.
I just wanted to, one, thank you for the gift of your priesthood. I can't tell you how many of your YouTube videos I've shared on social media platforms.
That's awesome. Thank you. And also, thank God for the gift of my priesthood. I'm so glad he asked me to be a priest.
My question is about my oldest son. When you were sharing kind of how you got turned on to developing courage within yourself, that sounded so much like him. He's 16 and feels that he's being called to the priesthood. And he considered military for a long time because he has that desire for to live courageously. And I was wondering if you had any resources for me or that I could pass on to him to kind of help him foster that. I mean, are there certain saints or other books that you have found helpful in developing your virtues of courage?
That's a great question. And thank you for that, for your son. I mean, he just, for raising that young man who desires those good things. Thank you for that. So some books that were really helpful. So when I was younger, I was really into Tarzan novels. FYI, I don't know if that's going to help your son, but it helped me because whoever Edgar Rice Burroughs was, I have no idea other than the fact that I've read all 26 of his Tarzan novels multiple times, is that there were stories like that of just like Tarzan was always noble. He was always courageous. But then I also read a number of stories of the saints. Louis DeWall, it's Louis, just like L-O-U-I-S, and then DeWall is D-E, capital W-O-H-L, has a number of historical novels. They're historical fiction of the lives of the saints. They're so incredible. Lastly, Chris Stefanik always talks about, I think it's Father Capuan, who was a great priest who also served the military troops, and that could be really helpful.
And we'll have to leave it there, Rebecca. Father Mike Schmitz, can we have your blessing before we go?
Absolutely. May Almighty God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father. I always love it when you're on. People can find you on the YouTube. Just look up Father Mike Schmitz. Game show coming up next. Top Secret Guest.